Hey, good morning. It's my pleasure to say adios 2020 and welcome in to 2021. It's a great opportunity for us this morning and into this new year, right? To be about something new. If only change were as easy as flipping the day on our calendar or flipping a page in a book. Each new season really comes with its own challenge and its own opportunity. And I'm mindful, right, of back in November when we had our annual Thanksgiving gathering, we left with this verse, and I'd like to read it as just an opportunity for us as we begin 2021. This is what it says in Isaiah chapter 43. "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." Our opportunity really is to see that, to engage with that, to be a part of that. What will we do this year? Because God's still in the business of taking those things that are overlooked, that seem like a desolation or a wasteland, and making them new and making them fertile. It's what he does. It's what he's come to do. And he's come to give us life, and that life more abundantly. And I was just thinking about some of the milestones that I've had in my life, right? I remember when I turned 40, people would ask me, "What's it feel like to turn 40? And I'm like, "I don't know. Exactly like it feels to be 39. Right? It wasn't any different for me in that moment on my birthday. I still looked the same. I still had the same worries, still had the same anxiety, still had the same challenges, and it felt really very similar to me. It wasn't any different yet. But as I've reflected on it, I've remembered some things, right? I did want to see something new. I did want to see some newness, right? I wanted to engage in things differently. I wanted to turn over a new leaf or maybe become a better version of myself. And you know what I did? I joined CrossFit. It was a disaster. Like, it was the worst 3 months of my life. I had to get up at 5 a.m. every morning, and then I had to punish my body in ways that I had never even devised punishment, and also written into the contract of my CrossFit class was I had to tell everybody about CrossFit in the first 30 or 40 seconds of every conversation. See, even now, I'm still doing it, right? It was miserable. I was sore all of the time. I was in the best shape of my life, but I couldn't do anything except go to the next CrossFit class. I thought there's gotta be a better way. There's got to be a way for me to get into this newness, or to find this new leaf, or get into this transformation where it didn't hurt so much. And there was. I quit CrossFit, I bought a barbecue smoker, and I gained 25 pounds. Like, it's the best it's ever been. And the truth is I've gained 25 pounds and probably taken 25 years off my lifespan. But you know what? I was more interested in being comfortable, right, than actually this transformation process. And now, just 5 years on, I see that I was more concerned about what I had to do instead of who I was becoming. And I think sometimes for us in these transitions or these milestones or these opportunities for change, we're more concerned with what we think we need to do instead of becoming the person that God designed us to be. There's a newness in that, right? And I'm reminded of one of my favorite scripture passages. It's from 2 Corinthians, and chapter 5 is this amazing chapter about this ministry of reconciliation that God's given us. But in it, in verse 16, I think it is, Paul kind of lays out for us some of the things that maybe I was walking through during that season of wanting to change, wanting to be transformed, but really more worried about the doing than the becoming. And this is what it says. It says, "At one time we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view, how differently we know him now, right? This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone and the new life has begun. What an awesome passage of scripture, right? The old has gone, the new life has begun. We don't think about Jesus, right, with our human thinking anymore. And as I even think about that phrase, right, we think about him differently. And there's this idea of our head knowledge of Jesus, right? A head knowledge of who he is and what he came to do and why he came to do it. But then there's also this deeper heart knowledge. And we talk about the head and the heart a lot, and it's not like the heart can have any knowledge that's different than the head, but I think what he's talking about is that this heart knowledge, this new way of understanding Jesus, means that our spirit has been awoken to life, to new life in Jesus, about why he came and about what he's done and how we can be a new creation in that. So we move from this head knowledge, right, about Jesus to an awakening of our spirit and our heart and everything that comes with that into this transition or transformation to become all that Jesus designed us to be. Paul reminds us that we no longer have to think about Jesus from a human point of view and how differently we now know him. The old is gone, right? And the new life has begun. And it's different from like when I turned 40, when I wanted to turn over a new leaf or become a better person, right? This idea of newness, this new life, is more than just a new leaf, right? It's becoming the person that Jesus always designed us to be, becoming the person that God's redeemed us to be. And I'm reminded of Romans 8, where Paul is talking a little bit about this from a different perspective, when he says that God knows us, right? And his will for us is that we would be conformed to the image of Jesus, that we would look like Jesus, that we would take Jesus with us wherever we go. And thus, partnering with him and bringing that new life that we've experienced to people everywhere. Right, and so now for us, we're in a new year. We're in a new season, a page has turned and new things are happening, new faces are around. And I know that I'm ready for the new, but I'm also, if I'm being completely honest, I think most of us would agree that new is different, and different is often hard, and sometimes different is scary. I don't want to presume or put words or feelings into your mouth, but I don't think that I'm alone when I come into a new year and a new season thinking, why do I feel the same? What's holding me back, right, from being that new creation that God's called me to be? I think there's some things that we need to reflect on, right? For me, the old was comfortable. The old was known. The old was safe. Right? There were things about it that I loved, that were comforting, that I knew that I didn't have to worry about. And now the new comes with risk, right? In feeling a little bit unsafe, but there's the opportunity that comes with that risk, right? There's peace even in the midst of an ongoing pandemic, right? There's still peace in the midst of uncertain circumstances. And there's also this deep abiding sense of safety in Christ, that I am known, that I am safe, and that I am secure in him, and I'm loved. But there are some things that would hold us back, right, from being that new creation in this new season, of taking a hold of all that God has for us in this new year. And so I've got a list of a few things. It's by no means a comprehensive list, but I think it pretty much has got a few of the big things that trip us up as we're on this pathway of being transformed, of taking a hold of that new life in Christ. And it's just simple. It's three things that I think have that opportunity to trip us up: our past, our wounds, and our habits. And I first want to talk a little bit about our past. And when I talk about the past, it's things that we've done, right? It's things that we've done in the past that continue to hang us up. We live in a culture of wanting and needing to put that best foot forward, to presenting, right, the best version of ourself. But kind of back in our mind, we know the things that we've done, and we know that we don't want others to see them or know about them. I know what I've done, and I don't want you to know about my secrets, or I know what I'm like, and you only see this little bit of me because that's the bit that I put in front of people. But I want to become that new life in Christ, that I'm the same everywhere I go. And sometimes the things in the past will trip us up and hold us in that space of not fully being transformed. And Scripture's clear, right, that when we repent and we ask God for forgiveness, that He's faithful and He's just and He forgives us and He cleanses us of all unrighteousness. But you know what? He doesn't just stop there. God actually goes even further. And I remember reading in one of my favorite books, it's by a man named Brennan Manning. The book was called The Ragamuffin Gospel. And in it, he recounts this story. I don't know if it's true or if it's just a metaphor for this deep abiding love of God that he talks about. But he says in this book, he talks about this young Catholic woman who had been having these visions of Jesus. And this is the kind of thing that makes news quickly, right? When people say they're seeing Jesus, and the archbishop of this area hears about it and he goes to meet with this young lady. And he says, "Is this true? Do you see visions of Jesus?" And she says, "Yes, Father, I do." And you know, he's skeptical. He doesn't believe it. And he says, "Well, the next time that you meet with Jesus, will you ask him a question?" And she says, "Yes, what would you like me to ask him?" And he says to her, "Well, when you see Jesus and he meets with you, ask him what were the sins that I confessed at my last confession." And the young woman was stunned, right? She was like, "You want me to ask Jesus about your past sins?" And he said, "Yes, I do." And so he left her, and some time went on, I think it was about 10 days, and she calls him up and she says, I had a vision of Jesus. And so he says, I'm coming there. I'm going to come see you. And so he comes and he meets her and he looks into her eyes and says, "You met with Jesus?" And she says, Yes, I did." And what did he say? "What were the things that I confessed in my last confessional?" And it says she looked him deep into his eyes and she said, these were his exact words: "I can't remember." You see, Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But God goes even further and says, "I'm going to forget what you've even done. As far as the east is from the west, I'm going to remember your sins no more." And if it's something that God has chosen to forget and to let go and to keep in the past, then why do we keep bringing it up? Why do we keep recounting or playing the videotapes in our head of the things that we have done when Jesus has forgiven us and asked us to walk into this new life and this new creation, this new person that he's called us to be? The old is gone and the new has begun, right? Our past is one of those things that holds us back from these new seasons that God has for us. The second thing is wounds, right? Our past and wounds. Our past is the things that we have done, but the wounds are the hurts that have been done to us. What others have done to us can trip us up and keep us in that old season of life. Jesus is not separate from our pain, right? Scripture teaches us that he has come. He himself said that, "I've come to set the captives free, to bind up the brokenhearted." But how does Jesus do this, right? How does Jesus, when we don't see him and he's not here with us in physical form, how does he bind up the brokenhearted? And I'm probably convinced more about this one thing than I am about anything else, that community, the way in which we bind up the brokenhearted, the way that Jesus does that, is the way that we love our community. How we love one another, how we take seriously the words of Jesus, is how our wounds get healed, right? It's tough because hurts, right? Being betrayed, being rejected, being overlooked, these things are real. And what they do is they often preclude us from wanting to step out again, to trust again, to love again, to be a part of a community again. And let's be honest, it's inevitable. People will let us down. People will hurt us. But community is the thing that Jesus has given us in order to help heal the world, right? In the scriptures, in the New Testament, there's over 40 one another's. And in those one another's, right, they're over a third of those one another's are opportunities for how we should treat other people. A third of them are about how we should love people. And then the rest are split up between humility and just treating everyone else the way that we want to be treated, right? They're so simple. It's love one another, forgive one another, carry each other's burdens, right? These kinds of things that come up over and over and over again. When we fight for relationship and community, we offer ourselves the healing that we need. And when we take these things seriously, we see that the past no longer can define us, but we see also that our wounds don't have to define us either. We're forgiven from our past, and there is healing from our wounds. And the third thing that I want to talk about today is our habits. Sometimes our habits hold us back from becoming who God designed us to be. I think you know what I'm talking about, right? Our sins have been forgiven, but sometimes the habits stick around a bit longer. I love Jesus, but I eat too much barbecue, right? Like, it's funny and it's a joke, and I love to do barbecue, and I love to smoke briskets and ribs and chicken and pork belly. The list goes on and on and on. I like doing that way more than I like getting up at 5 a.m. and doing burpees. The two don't even exist in the same universe to me, actually. But the truth is the habits that we have can hold us back. Look, let's be honest. 2020, for many people, was difficult. I remember at the beginning of the year, I was getting ready to do a wedding. And so I went and I talked to our gym manager, Shane, and I needed to get into the gym and get some exercise. And so he was so gracious and set me up on a plan. And we were smashing it. I was in there 3 days a week. It was great, right? And then everything kind of shut down. And I'm working from home, which is not my ideal. I'm very social. I love to work with people. And so working at home was difficult. And I knew I needed to do some exercise. And so we did a family kind of sibling rivalry challenge. And so for a couple months, I was doing quite a lot of exercise. But then things started to get back to some semblance of normal. But what happened was, in the coming back of trying to get back into a routine of doing things normally, I stopped working out altogether. Other things became more important. And it became easier and easier and easier to just keep smoking chicken wings for dinner instead of getting up early and going for a run. You see, we all find ways to justify the self-medication that we choose. It's funny to talk about gaining weight because of barbecue, but the truth is it has a long-lasting effect on our health, on my health. But the things that we all have habits for have the opportunity to be things that would hold us back from being who God wants us to be. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's just being angry. There's all kinds of things that would habitually hold us back. But it's 2021 now, and it's a new season. It's in a new year. And there are opportunities for you and for me to become all that God designed us to be. It's a new year, but God's mission is the same, that we would be the ones who have been called out, the church, right, on the mission with Jesus. And what's his mission? It's to help heal the world, to help heal the world of anger, of hatred, of separation, of too much barbecue. Whatever the case may be, even in this new season, the mission is the same. And so for us today, I ask you, what will you do to engage in the future of this mission? What does it look like for you, for me, for us as a Good Life family to fight for this future, to fight for these relationships, right? To fight for all that Jesus is offering us with this new life. If something's holding you back from entering into that newness, that new creation life that he has for you, what does it look like for you to let it go? What does it look like for us to take our past, to take our hurts, and to take our habits and lay them at the cross and exchange them for something better? Not just a new leaf, not just a new season, but a new life. And this is what Jesus promises us. He is with us. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and the new life has begun. I hope that you'll join us on this journey. We are so excited about what God is going to do in us and through us. It's a new season. That doesn't mean that everything's going to be smooth. It doesn't mean that everything is going to be perfect. We're humans. But what we do commit to is prayerfully moving forward together with all that God has and all that God's called us to here at Good Life. We have a unique call to love our community, to love one another, and to continue to love God with all that we have and all that we are. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to go into a worship song. And I hope that you'll take this moment to reflect. It's something that we just kind of are surrounded with in this season, right? As soon as the calendar hits January 1, it's all about New Year's resolutions. It's all about running more and being kinder and making sure that we remember to be grateful. I hope that we can enter into not just turning over a new leaf, but becoming who God designed us to be, a new person, so that when February rolls around, we don't give up the gym membership, or we don't stop coming to church, or we don't stop serving where we can serve, or loving where we can love, and being who we were always meant to be. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that you're with us. That the way of Jesus is the best way to live. And I pray, God, as we're thinking about the past and we're thinking about the hurts and we're thinking about the things that would hold us back from being who you designed us to be, I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would come and remind us of who we are in you, that our identity in you is secure, and that all who have said yes to Jesus are on this new path of being transformed and conformed into your image. And I pray as we head into this new year, God, that we would be reminded of who you've called us to be, and that we'd be able to go into those new days full of faith, fighting for relationship, fighting for the things that are important, God, so that we can be partners with you in helping to heal our world and our community. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen, enjoy.
draw me close again.